Hello and welcome to PrivCap's DealMaker Roundup. I'm David Snow, CEO of PrivCap. And today we're joined by Ryan Budlong of Harris Williams, Chris Elvin of Preqin, and Harshad Kurzakar of RSM. Gentlemen, welcome to PrivCap. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we're talking about the private equity deal market and what's been going on in that market in Q2 2016, and very importantly, what we think will happen for the rest of the year. Our first topic is all about the fact that there has been a deal volume surge, at least compared to the first quarter. So I'd like to understand, will the deal surge continue? Maybe starting with a question for you, Ryan. Why was it that things were a bit sleepier as far as deal volume was concerned in the first quarter?
Well, I think that the middle market in the first quarter continued to be pretty active. What we saw was a reduced number of mega deals kind of year over year from 15 to 16, so it made things seem a little bit slower. And then additionally, the credit markets were a little bit choppier in the first quarter of 2016. So some deals that needed to access the capital markets to get debt financing probably tapped the brakes a little bit and waited to the second quarter to get kicked off.
So if we look at Q2 as a whole, whilst the actual deal value was down, there was actually more than 1,000 deals completed in Q2. And that was largely attributed to the US and Europe, where about 89% of those deals were done in those locations. Certainly, it sort of infers the number of smaller deals and mid-sized deals still runs robustly.
And Harshad, as you look among your clients and in the market that you service, what do you see as the main drivers of deal activity right now, and do you think that those drivers will continue?
So I'm seeing significant activity in the add-ons, especially compared to the last year. People have paid higher multiples on the platform, and the only way you're going to justify those higher multiples by doing add-on acquisitions at lower multiples. So blended cost of acquisitions is coming down.
The U.S. middle market is its own very large space that maybe doesn't make the national headlines, but is very robust and perhaps a better indicator of really what's going on in the economy. Do you see sort of a difference in what's going on in the middle market versus the large deal market?
We see the middle market be traditionally a lot more stable environment in which M&A volume comes from. And I think part of that is it's not as susceptible to stock market fluctuations, overall, you know, kind of public market investor market sentiment. And so it tends to be a little bit more stable than the mega deals.
Preqin tracks the nature of private equity deals, and there is a huge percentage of them are sponsor-to-sponsor deals, sometimes called secondary deals, in which a private equity firm sells to another private equity firm.
Secondary transactions continuing to increase, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing, to your point, because every group now tends to specialize in different things. So what one private equity firm may have brought to a portfolio company, another private equity firm can bring something totally different to them as well. The other thing that we've seen over the years at Harris Williams is the valuation differences between strategic buyers and financial buyers have significantly narrowed. It used to be where strategic buyers would pay significant premiums for assets. We've seen that valuation gap narrow quite substantially over time.
Chris, I'm going to have to ask you the Brexit question. What do you think will happen in the European and UK private equity deal market in light of Brexit?
We've already conducted some surveys of fund managers within the industry to find out their views on whether they'll be looking to sort of invest more or reduce the number of investments. And it's a mixed bag. Over a third of the fund managers we surveyed said in the next 12 months they're going to be looking to invest less in the UK. Only time will tell what the sort of long-term effect of that is. But as a result, that sort of uncertainty question is could be quite a poison chalice for deal activity, with many proceeding sort of cautiously over the sort of short to longer term.
Okay, let's move on to our next topic, which is hot sectors to watch. Each of you are interested in a certain subsector of the private equity deal market. I'm going to ask you about them and why you find them to be so interesting. So maybe starting with Ryan.
I think what we've seen is a noticeable improvement in deal activity in the food and beverage world. Again, as investors start to look forward a little bit and anticipate a cyclical downturn at some point, food and beverage has traditionally been a safe place for investors to put their money. Obviously, people are going to continue to need to eat and drink. It's a very stable stable, non-cyclical market. In addition to that, there's a number of subsectors within food and beverage that have some secular growth trends like health and wellness that'll continue to be tailwinds to that market for a number of years going forward.
Okay, let's move over to you, Chris. You've seen some interesting activity in the healthcare space among private equity firms. What have you seen and what do you think is driving it?
What we've seen more recently, particularly in the sort of last four quarters, is a pickup in healthcare deals. And I think that's directly correlated to the sort of number of funds being raised and the amount of capital being raised in the buyout space, specifically targeted at healthcare. And you know, whilst the majority of healthcare activity seems to still take place in developed economies, as the sort of healthcare in emerging markets becomes more established, that's also presenting opportunity as well.
Moving on to you, Harshad, you've seen some interesting activity in the business services sector.
Sure.
What are you seeing and what do you think is driving that?
People are interested in business services because of low CapEx requirements of the business. So it's more asset-light businesses, opportunity for significant cash flows. There is a tech play going on throughout the business services, you know, tech-enabled logistic, tech-enabled media, tech-enabled everything pretty much, and that those companies are getting pretty high multiples because of unlimited opportunities that companies may present.
So on to our next topic, private equity exit activity is regaining its stride. We're going to look at why that is. Since 2013, the number of private equity-backed exits has mostly been above, you know, roughly 400 per quarter, according to Preqin data, but in a couple of recent quarters, the number and the volume has been down. Chris, what is your read on the coming exit activity, and do you see a rebalancing versus private equity firms doing new deals?
What happens in the remainder of 2016, I think caution will be the sort of outcome that's most likely. And in my personal viewpoint would be that the exit activity will remain robust, but is probably likely to be below the levels we saw in 2015.
Ryan, what do you see by way of exit activity among the private equity firms that you know? And if you could specifically comment on IPOs as an exit route, you know, what do you think will happen in the second half of the year?
On the IPO side, I think it will probably continue to be a little bit slow. The first part of the year got off to a very slow start for public exits. Historically, companies went public for greater access to the capital markets. I think there's a much more robust private market, capital market today, so they don't need some of those same resources that historically you only got from being a public company. And then finally, managers oftentimes have a preference to operate in a private manner so that they can make what they feel are better longer-term decisions and not have to report on a quarterly basis.
I'm quite optimistic about the exit activity over the next 12 months, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, extraordinary. It's going to be solid because of following reasons. You know, the multiples are still high. There is a lot of dry powder for good companies. There's a lot of private capital available, so people are ready to pay higher multiple for good companies.
And I think all of the ingredients for a healthy M&A market are there. The pipeline that we are seeing is continuing to build. Is it going to be a record year? I don't suspect that'll happen, but I think it'll be a very solid year with multiples remaining, you know, at very high levels.
And you know, 2015 was a very solid year.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's at par, we have a really good M&A market.
Okay, now let's turn to a highlight from a recent interview we did with Jeff Rennard, a co-founder of Audax Group. Is the private equity deal market overly competitive? Rennard shares his veteran perspective on the old phrase, too much money chasing too few deals.
With so much capital committed to private equity, it's more and more complicated to differentiate yourself in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
And when there's too many dogs chasing too few cats, valuations have a tendency to stay high.
Now, I will say, I've been in the business now 32 years, and every year, starting in 1985, actually late 84, I have heard the common wisdom being that there's too much money chasing too few deals. So every year, that people have said relative to the prior year. So it's economics 101, if demand is high, you know, supply keeps increasing to meet that demand. And the supply of capital has increased every single year. You know, the total amount of capital under management has increased every single year I've been in the business. Public markets are, you know, depending on the year, you know, they're up and they're down, but they're generating on average, you know, 500 basis points lower return than, the median private equity return. So there's still a premium to what you can get in public markets in private equity, but that premium is compressed over time.
Okay, that's it for this episode of Dealmaker Roundup. Thank you to our experts for being here. And of course, thanks to our audience for watching, and we will see you next time.